church that Paul's got established and going. And it didn't take long. It did not take long for the Corinthian believers to get, divided and stirred up. And they had a lot of problems. And typical even of today, I see so many people that they say they have this problem and that problem at their church problems. Amen. I despise church problems, and I think it can be solved and settled if we stay around the same book. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you the key verse to the book of 1 Corinthians, and that's where we'll start this morning. And looking at, we'll just be dealing from chapter to chapter. I won't get them covered today, I know. But we're going to look at some things that they were having in that day Paul was putting up with inside the church. Now, we're on our study of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus with the epistles to the church and how that we're to operate and how that we're to perform and how we're to do in the church. And we're teaching that and trying to get that established. But you'll find if those things in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus had been in play and they were doing what they're supposed to do there, they wouldn't have had the problems in 1 Corinthians. So we want to look at this morning in 1st chapter, please. The first chapter, we're going to skip the first few verses. I've talked about the salutation, how Paul is greeting these believers, and in the first 9 verses. And so we'll skip down to verse number 10, because in this study that we're doing, we're going to be dealing with the problems instead of a verse-by-verse exposition of the book of 1 Corinthians. So in verse number 10 is where we'll start, and this actually is the theme, and this actually is the main verse, and you can base 1 Corinthians on this verse, and this is what Paul's trying to get over to us and to convey to us that we need in verse number 10. The Bible said, "Now I beseech you," and that's Paul's words. That word beseech means I beg you, I plead with you, I'm asking you, I'm really trying to stress this in your heart. That's what Paul's saying. "Now I beseech you, brethren." And when he says brethren, we automatically know that he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the Christians. He's talking to the brethren. Those who are saved today are brothers and sisters in Christ, and so they're the brethren. We here today who are saved are brethren. So he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Now, he's not talking about the same words the way we say them. He's just talking about the same thing. In other words, we come together, we all have the same speech when it comes to speech, and we'll declare and magnify and show you what he's talking about here in just a minute. He said, "That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you." Somehow Paul had got word that there was some dividing, there was some division in the church. And Paul didn't like it, the Lord didn't like it, and God don't like it either. Amen. So I'm telling you, there's no division, should not be no division in the house of God. Amen. God is not the author of confusion. Confusion causes division. And so we know the devil brings the division. And if a church is having division, somebody's not listening to God. Amen. And might not be just one, but half a dozen. Amen. I never seen so many fights and things that goes on in the church anymore. It's just alarming to me. The least little thing will cause an uproar. And, they're not usually fighting over doctrine, because most of them don't know too much about the doctrine. They're fighting over color carpet and, things of that nature. Things that really don't amount to, this is what I call trivial things. They're letting things get in. But he said that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Now remember, he's talking to the believers. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In other words, Paul is saying we need to be at the place that we speak the same way. We have the same desires. We want the same interest and have the same thing. Now, I'm not made like you are, and you're not made like me. And we have a lot. There's foods I'd eat you wouldn't eat. There's things that you'd eat I wouldn't eat. There's clothes you'd wear I wouldn't wear, and so forth and so on. And, everybody's got their own preference to their T-model sitting in the yard. They all, Got one's a Ford man, one's a Chevrolet man, one's a Toyota man. You understand what I'm saying? And those are good things. He's not saying we'd have to get down to specifics on that. But when it comes down to the doctrines of the Bible and the things of God, there's not but one way to interpret the Scriptures, and that's the way the Spirit interprets them to us. There cannot be a half a dozen different interpretations of the Scriptures. The Bible said the Word of God is of no private interpretation. There's a lot of things, like you've heard me say this before, and I say it a lot. I've got a lot of personal convictions, and my personal convictions are mine, but not necessarily what the Bible says. For years, I was standing against, you know, I say this a lot, amen, Brother Virgil, there's one thing to say, because he's grinning, and that is, I used to preach against men who had beards and all that, and I said, boy, get rid of that old beard, look like a man. And then one day I realized that's not even in the Bible. And that's a personal conviction. Amen. Now that's not a Bible conviction, so we can't split hairs off of that. And we can't divide churches and divide lives because of what I believe. As long as what I believe is not with the Word. But when it's with the Word, we've got to stand together, right? And so we look at that. Well, some people wouldn't eat certain foods and certain things like that. And we can get divided off of some things. But anyhow, Paul's saying the theme of this book is that we stay together, undivided, that we believe the same things, we hold to the same things, we teach the same things, we believe, and that we speak it the same way. Now, he begins to give the illustration of it, and here's the first problem he's having in Corinth. And that is in verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me. Somebody told him, a little bird told him or something. It says, it's been declared unto me. Somebody, they couldn't call him on the cell phone. I'm sure they didn't have him in that day. Amen. And they couldn't call him on the telephone, landline. And about the best way they had is through letters or going. And so Paul, I told you the other day, is a letter writer. So people wrote him, somebody told him, for it hath been declared unto him. Somebody told me is what he's saying. If we was talking together, somebody told me this about you. You ever heard people say that to you? For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, there he is again, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Hey, I found out down at the house of Chloe, down where you were worshiping, there's some contentions. In other words, you've got what's contentions? Some divisions, some arguments, some things are going on. It's just some things that you've divided over. There's some contentions. You're kind of contentious. There's some things going on. There's a lot of people in church that's got contentions. We come in the door, we ought to forget everything, and we ought to drop everything, amen, and get everything off our mind. Matter of fact, it ought to be off your mind before you come in the door. And prayed up and sought to seek the face of God. So when we come in here, we can worship the Lord. And we're holding nothing against nobody. And so we have no contentions. I don't believe. Have you ever been in church when you have contentions? I mean, you can't worship. You can't feel at ease. You can't feel at liberty. Amen. You try to sing and you choke up with it. You try to preach and you can't preach. I've been there when there's a lot of contentions. Of course, down in later years, I've learned how to preach. I don't care whether they believe me or not. Amen. I want them to, but I don't get upset anymore about that. Amen. I know what's right, so we just preach the Word. So anyhow, look at this. Paul said, for it had been declared unto me of you, brethren, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Something's going on. I've heard something going on. Something's rattling in the bushes and letting me know that there's some divisions. You're not worshiping like you ought to. And so then he begins to address the problem. Verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. There's four different things. Well, you're divided four ways. Some of them are saying, hey, I'm a Paul preacher. I mean, I'm Father Paul. None come along and said, hey, I like what Apollos said, and I like Apollos. And then another one comes along and said, I like Cephas. You know, Peter said, I like Cephas. I'm a Cephas follower myself. I like what Peter says about it. And then the other said, well, I'm of Christ. And I guess somebody else tries. And one of them strut out and think, hey, I'm better off because I believe this and believe that. But there's contention. And they begin to look, and what they were doing is what we see the same thing happening in our country. They are preacher followers. They're not looking at what the Bible says. They're just following the man of God, and so-called. Now, all these, if you have to say, we're good men, would you say that? You look at it, and if you would have seen Paul, I don't know how you picture Paul, but Paul was, I believe, a straightforward man. I think, is, of course, what I've always taught is Paul, I believe, is probably one of the closest that you could find to Jesus as any. Amen. And he was close. He was not perfect, but he had some faults. But Paul demonstrated and illustrated the grace of God in his life more than probably any New Testament person I've seen. That's the reason he's got his name on 14 different books of the Bible. And God put him out there as an apostle. And he used him mightily. So you see, he was usable. When I look at Paul, I probably would have been in that crowd following Paul, wouldn't you? Amen. Human flesh wants you to follow something. And sometimes it's not the right thing. So another one comes along, Apollos. I've studied a little bit about Apollos, and Apollos is more of a dignified preacher. Amen. He was more the uptown style, but he preached right. He just went in a different manner. You know, he didn't. Paul, I believe, was a man that, I don't believe he stuttered, but I believe he had plain English. I don't believe he had to. Matter of fact, I read his writings, and I don't have to get a dictionary. Some of the words is just they used in those days they don't use now. And I have to look up words. But I believe Paul was a plain, practical preacher that you didn't have to carry a dictionary to listen to him to understand what he said. I believe when he spoke, you know what he's talking about. Pretty well, what I've done read to you this morning is pretty plain, ain't it? He said, somebody told me you got some problems down there. I understand that. Well, let's go a little further. Paulus was one of them. I don't believe he was out of line. I believe he was just more of a streamlined preacher. And that carried a crowd that didn't like Paul's style. You know, people like preacher's styles. And we get more concerned about the preacher's style than we do his message. We get more concerned about the preacher concerning liking the preacher than we do the preacher's message. Now, you remember what I've been telling you when we studied Habakkuk the other day and Obadiah and what was the one we had, Nahum Wednesday night? Those prophets are only mentioned one time in the Bible. And they got the message. God wants us to hear the message and not particularly the messenger. He wants us to get the message. And so it's not the messenger that's important. It is the message. And we lose sight of that. We lose what we need from getting the truth of God. And so that causes contention. Well, then there was another one. Peter, he comes along. I'm Cephas. And they'll say, hey, I like Peter's style. I believe if anything, Peter was a robust fella. He drove home the point. He had more of a, I guess, we all made different. We're not made the same. Matter of fact, when they come to take Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, he jumps up and whacks off a man's ear. He speaks before he thinks. I'm not saying he's out of line. I'm just saying you hear in the Word of God that Cephas was a different style preacher. And of course, there's the other one that said, well, I tell you what, it's not the preachers. I'm of Christ. And so somebody's in the middle of that. And that ought way it ought to be. But you can't use that for a division either. You can't use that. We ought to be of one mind and one accord. Is that right? According to the Scriptures. And we're to have the same mind and the same judgment. And so that's what he wants us to do. And to have that as we look into the Scriptures and the Word of God. And us have the same mind and the same judgment as he spoke in verse 10. So now, Paul's addressing the situation. Said, seems to me you got a problem. You're following preachers. One's following Paul, one's following Apollos, another is following Cephas, and another is following Christ. And because of that, you have got a division and you're fighting one another because Paul didn't say it that way, and because Peter didn't say it that way, and because Apollos didn't say it that way, and because Christ didn't say it that way. We all got a division, yet we're preaching the same gospel. Now I realize we've got a problem in America. Every church is not preaching the same gospel. Every preacher's not preaching the same book. They got all kinds of books that they're preaching out of today. So that's a different story. Don't compare that. That's a different story than what we've got here. In that day, they didn't have but one word. Amen. That's the way it ought to be today. But anyhow, they only had one word. It's the word of God. But it's the way they interpreted it and looked at it. And that's where I was getting at a while ago. That's why Paul, and I'm telling you, that's why Paul had to get into this, is simply because he realized that they were not interpreting the scriptures the same way. Amen. They had their own little ideas about this and their ideas about that. And so Paul now is trying to straighten that out. He gets in verse 13, he asks a question. He asks them all a question that somebody's got to deal with. He says, is Christ divided? Well, we know right off how to answer that, don't we? He said, then secondly, he says, was Paul crucified for you? Why are you lifting Paul so high? He's not the one that died for you. You see what I'm saying? Hey, why are you lifting Paul so high? Amen. Paul has done great work, don't get me wrong, but looking at this, we see, and he says he didn't die. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Hey, were you baptized in his name, or were you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? You remember what Jesus told him, go into all parts of the world, preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Amen. You don't go baptize in the name of the Baptist. You don't go baptize in the name of the preacher. You don't go baptize in the name of, somebody else. You go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, was Paul baptized for you? No, he wasn't. Then he said in verse 14, and of course he didn't try to get into all the others so much. Paul could bring it all to himself. He said, because he didn't mind picking it himself. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius too. This kind of makes me think about this. If baptism been essential salvation, as some teach it is today, I believe Paul had been out baptizing more. Don't you? That gives me a lot of biblical doctrine right here. I believe we ought to be baptized. I believe every born again child of God ought to be baptized after they're saved, after they're birthed in the family of God, and that's for service. Walk in the newness of life, bury the old man, raise the new man, go out for Christ. That's what it is. But Paul said, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, two of you, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. See, Paul wasn't trying to get recognition. He wasn't trying to get glory, but he seen that the people were giving men the glory. It's good to have good preachers. Thank God for good men that'll stand and preach in the pulpit and declare the Word of God. But I believe we've come to the place in our society just about made gods out of them. And to a place where we'll pay more attention to what they say and even what the Bible says. Amen. Dr. Bottlestopper up the country, I've been preaching in the pulpits and I said certain things is wrong. And then I've had people to write Dr. Bottlestopper. You can put any name you want to on that. They'll write Texas or California or some big name, well-known evangelist, and they'll get a letter back and they'll bring me the letter, and I've read some of them, and they'll say, this man's not right, and they've called me all kinds of things. And they'll say, see, they believe it's all right. And I look at them and I say, well, I don't care what they believe on that. What does your Bible tell you? Go to the Bible and find out what I'm preached is right or not. Don't go find somebody else. Don't look at the preacher uptown. Hey, ain't no telling what he's liable to say. Don't even quote what I say. Amen. And tell him I said certain things. Just tell him what God said. That's what irritates me. I preach to people, and when I preach to them, guess what? They go out and say, my preacher said this, and my preacher said that. Don't you do that on me. Just go out and say, well, you did say it, preacher. Okay, I did. You tell them what the Bible says. I don't care what. What I say don't make no difference, but what the Word of God says makes a difference. You go out and tell them what the Bible. See, my preaching is to try to get to the place to put in your mind and in your heart the things of God to get you to believe it just like God has given it to me. I'm preaching. I'm not in here trying to preach and teach something to get you to go out and tell people what I said. Hey, I'm trying to get you to see what God said. And so go tell them what God says. So Paul said, hey, I didn't baptize you. And then he said, if I had, the reason I didn't is because some of you would be saying I baptized my own name. And then he said, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Amen. Can you imagine that? I know some preachers now, but they just about tell you everybody they've ever baptized. And Paul didn't even keep a record. How about that? Amen. I couldn't tell you how many I baptized down through the years. I'd miss it if I even tried to entertain the thought. Used to baptize more years ago than I do now, and that's so with every preacher. Amen. Unless they are water preachers. All right. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. He said, verse 17, he's trying now to get to the problem. You folks have got to the place that you're lifting Paul. The ones that's not lifting Paul's lifting Apollos. Those that's not lifting Apollos is lifting Cephas, and those that are not lifting Cephas is lifting Christ. And you've got such a division. And so I can just picture it now in the church like that. You got Paul's little crowd and Apollos' little crowd and Cephas' little crowd and Jesus' little crowd. Now, Jesus' little crowd don't want to deal with Cephas' crowd, and Cephas don't want to deal with the Paul's. And understand? Is that about what we see today in our society? Amen. You go into church nowadays and you find a little group here and a little group there and they fight each other. I hate that and despise that. Amen. Then they huddle up after church, and I think they're huddling up like they're trying to get their strategy plans, and always try to break the huddles up. Amen. No sense in that. Amen. Or having parties here and there. I despise having parties eating donuts and donut holes and devil's food cake and drinking coffee trying to discuss the preacher. For Christ sent me not, he said. Here's the real thing. Here's where you need your mind. Here's where you need your heart. Remember, verse 10, still here. If you're not careful, you'll forget that. We're still to be in one mind, one accord, and Paul's trying to bring them around to his thinking. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And somehow, in the back of my mind and down in my heart, I believe the thing was that Paul's baptized more than Apollos baptized, and Cephas baptized more than Christ baptized, and so forth. There's a baptism issue here. I believe sometimes we overlook that when we see it. We're looking at the division, but if you look at this, the reason Paul got off on baptism was simply because that must have been the text and the conversation. They must have been divided because Paul seemed like he was baptizing more than Cephas and so forth and so on. And it's a baptizing issue. And so they got put out on that. And Paul said there's two things. Number one, you don't look at the preacher and put him on a pedestal. And secondly, you're not looking at works of baptism. It's not baptism we're preaching. It's not baptism that we are majoring on. That's a doctrine of God. It's needful. It's necessary. But it's not essential to your salvation, but it's necessary for your service. And so I'm saying to you this morning, as you look in verse 17, Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. See, he sent me not to baptize. So since that subject's come up, that must have been what was it was around. Never heard a preacher mention that before. Never heard anybody mention that when I've heard them preach on this scripture. But when I look at it, common sense tells me there must have been a problem since Paul went off. He wasn't trying to dodge it. He wasn't trying to change it. He was just going to face the issue, and I like what Paul done. He faced the issue straight on. He didn't dodge the bullet. He didn't beat around the bush, as the fellow says. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? What's that? Preach. Preach what? The gospel. What's the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15. Preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, not the way I can say it, the best I can say it, but lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. In other words, I'm not to give you swelling words and give you wisdoms of words or try to encroach upon. That's the reason I'm saying here that Apollos was kind of, you know, we're looking for somebody that was deep. A lot of people looking for preachers that are deep in the scriptures. They want to be taught deep things. Most of these deep preachers go down deep and come up dry and dead. Amen. I'm serious. But we need to study the Word of God. And so we're not trying to impress with the words of wisdom. He said, if you do that, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. In other words, you overlook the preaching the cross. The cross is overlooked. It's overlooked in most churches. It really is. Preaching the cross is overlooked. We want to preach on things rather than the cross of Christ. Then in verse number 18, he goes on. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, to those out there. So he's trying to give them the remedy. He's trying to give them the answer to their problems of division in the church. This whole first chapter deals primarily with this, how that they've got this division, they're fighting over what preacher to listen to, what preacher to pay attention to, and one's pulling for one, one's pulling for another, instead of all pulling for Christ. And brother, we come in the house of God, if we had one thing on our mind, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the gospel of God, salvation of the soul, and all we done and we come in here is not to see what we can see or hear what we can hear, but to pray that God will have his way in our hearts and lives and send conviction on the hearts and of souls and men and women who are lost and undone and those out of the will of God and praying. We ought to have a praying attitude. We come down to the house of God. Amen. Every time the preacher's preaching, we ought to be a praying, oh God, touch the words of the man of God that they go out and touch the people. Amen. Amen. Not trying to, put a halo on the preacher. Put a halo on the Word of God. All right. Now, it said, for the preaching the cross is to them that perish foolishness, those who are lost and undone, those who are going to hell, those that don't know Christ, to them preaching is foolish. Yeah, evidently there's a lot of people that's lost because a lot of people don't like preaching. They don't like preaching. Now, Christ didn't say anything, or Paul didn't say anything about foolish preaching. He's talking about the preaching is foolishness to the people that's lost. Preaching is not foolish. It's only foolish to them who do not believe. Those who believe love preaching. That's one way you can tell whether you have got the goods or not, is how much you love the preaching, the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about little essays and little things in the pulpit, seminars that we hold in our pulpits nowadays. And I'm not talking about guiding words of man's wisdom to try to help us with this situation. But I'm talking about preaching of the Word of God. That's what we ought to love. And that's what we entail. If we don't have a love for that, you can dig down deep inside one of two things. You're so lost, it's pitiful, or you're either backslid and you got away from God so much that you don't want it no more. Amen. Got to be. Because preaching of the gospel is foolish only to those who do not believe. Only to those this morning who are lost. And then he said, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Where do we get our power? From the preaching, the Word of God. Amen. You can come in to the church house and just about defeated and upset and disturbed and don't know which way to turn and where to go. But a man of God can get up and put the Word of God on you and give you the Word of God, and he can put some intestinal fortitude down in your soul through the preaching the Word of God, and you can get up and get ready to fight 15 devils. You couldn't handle it, but I'm telling you, you get ready for it. You want to keep on keeping on. How many times you went to church dragging in and drug out? Most of them. But have you ever been to the church house when you come dragging in and you went out with the weapon of warfare, the sword of the Spirit in your hand, and said, I'm going to chop the devil's head off? I've got encouraged a few times going to church and got ready to go fight, didn't you? Amen. Instead of, when I was ready, like old Elijah, sitting under a juniper tree sucking my thumb. And then God straightened me out with the Word. But he said unto them which are saved, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You see, preaching the Word of God is the power of God to you and me. And we need more of God's power. Do you say that? Well, if we need more of God's power, how do we get it? More of God's Word. David said he hides the Word of God in his heart that we might not sin against God and sin against the Lord. And so that is true. And the more Word we have in us, the stronger we become. He said in verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understand the prudent. And that's all going to fail. All the wisdom of man's going to fail. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? I'm trying to hurry because I wanted to try to get a few more things out of here. Time's going to catch me here in a minute. And so we see some things happening. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See, God has chosen the method of preaching to save men and women. Preaching the gospel. He hadn't chosen anything else. He's chosen to preach in the Word of God. That's why it's important to find where we can get preaching the Word of God. Amen. We've got to get there. And we're not having much of that day. We're having too much entertaining and everything else. We need some preaching of the Word of God. He said, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolish. The Greeks think we're foolish. And then he said over here, he said the Jews, while they're stumbling over it, they're already stumbling. You know why they've done it? They already crucified Christ. They already said away with him. They refused him and rejected him. And they said, let his blood be on us and our children. And that's exactly what's happening. God now has turned to the Gentiles here. He's done looked away from the Jew. He hadn't forgotten or forsaken the Jew, but he's looked away for him, put him on the sideline, and started dealing with us old Gentiles. And so God has given us the same preaching, and he's given us that, and God's wanting us to take it. And so it's a stumbling block. Preaching the gospel is a stumbling block not only to the Jews, but to a lot of other people today. You can preach the gospel, and people don't want it. They don't want the preaching the gospel anymore. They want to be what they were with Isaiah. Preach unto us smooth things. They want to be patted on the back. They want to be told how good they are. They want to be told, things, soothing things. Comfort me. I went to church a lot of times, preacher, and you preached. And when you preached, I didn't get comforted. As problems rise, and I felt worse when I went. Well, that's because you didn't yield. Holy Spirit didn't get his right away in your heart. You didn't let the Lord do it. If you let God have his way, you can leave in a better shape than you were when you come in. I believe that. I've been a few times, went to the house of God and felt more miserable when I left than did when I come, but I know why. It's because I didn't yield. The Holy Spirit had convicted me, and I didn't yield. And I went on my own way, thought everything's all right with myself. But he said, verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And he said to them Jews and to them Greeks that believe and have not rejected and are Gentiles as well, he said what they're getting, they're getting the power of God and the wisdom of God. They're getting that. Isn't that good to know? Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so he's talking about it. So here's basically the main problem that they're having in chapter number 1 is there's a division over the preaching and the preachers. There's a division not over on on who's preaching, but there's a division on what they're preaching and what they're believing and what they're wanting. Amen. You ask a lot of people today, what do you want the man of God to be like? Boy, you'd get all kinds of ideas, wouldn't you? Boy, you couldn't get a half a dozen to agree on any one thing. There's always a division. Amen. So we need to see that the basic thing for the man of God is preaching the gospel. Preaching the word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. And thank God for that gospel this morning that we can preach and declare and learn from. Amen? Isn't it good? Praise the Lord this morning. All right, we'll stop there and I'll pick up next week. We'll pick up another problem that is having in the church. And get this one. The first problem we find in the book of Corinthians is there was divisions and contentions. And they couldn't get along. And they couldn't agree on anything. And hey, we see that happening up and down our country today. Let's bow our heads and call on God. Father, help us this morning. Touch us. Stir our hearts. Lord, I pray you move upon the congregation. Have your own will and way in our heart. And God, I pray you touch the song service, the preaching hour, God, the times that we have here around the Word of God. I pray you'd speak in an unusual, special way today. Send the power of God today to touch hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.